This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut's minimum wage will increase by more than 50 cents an hour next January. Bruce Blakeman says New York shouldn't be trying to shut down prediction markets like Kalshi. Plus, we're headed to the Adirondacks for a look at a unique school sport. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. Connecticut's minimum wage will increase by more than 50 cents per hour next January, from $16.94 to $17.48. State officials made the announcement on the increase this week. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Dante Bartolomeo is the state's labor commissioner. She says the increase is mandated by a 2019 state law that ties the state's minimum wage to the U.S. Department of Labor's annual employment cost index. This year, the index is up more than 3%, which accounts for the raise of 54 cents per hour.
In 2027, Connecticut's minimum wage will rise from $16.94 to $17.48 per hour. This is a $21.60 increase per week for workers that are working 40 hours that will help mitigate the costs of inflation.
Bartolomeo says between 160 and 200,000 Connecticut residents earn minimum wage. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
Republican gubernatorial candidate Bruce Blakeman says New York shouldn't be trying to shut down prediction markets like Kalshi. The New York Public News Network's Jimmy Vielkind has more.
Governor Hochul and Attorney General Letitia James say the platform basically amounts to unregulated gambling on everything from baseball games to elections. But Blakeman says the Democratic leader should scrap their lawsuit and cut a deal with the platform.
Why not get the revenue now? Why not create the jobs in our state? Why not create economic prosperity?
Kalshi officials say they let users trade positions on the outcomes of events, almost like a stock market. The company says it was talking with the state about paying taxes, like betting companies do. Hochul spokesperson Sean Butler says Kalshi violated state law and put consumers at risk. Butler called attempts at self-regulation, quote, meaningless. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
The Voting Rights Act is 61 years old today. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports it's gone through several changes since it became law.
The VRA was supposed to ban racial discrimination in voting. It made it illegal to dilute the votes of ethnic minority groups through gerrymandering, meaning a state can't spread their white voters out to dominate every U.S. House of Representatives district. However, the Supreme Court has undermined the VRA several times, most recently in April. Doug Spencer is a law professor at University of Colorado Boulder.
The Supreme Court issued this opinion that said the process of drawing maps to benefit Black voters, even if the reason you're doing so is because the Voting Rights Act said you had to, violates the Constitution.
The decision means that going forward, states will have to find another way to give agency to minority voters. The Supreme Court did not specify what that should look like. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
And Doug Spencer appeared on an episode of WSHU's The Making of Us. Check it out over at WSHU.org. A lot of school sports work the same way. Two teams compete against each other in one place. But trap shooting is a little bit different. That story is coming up.
America's story is complicated. Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Beverly Gage traces its triumphs, contradictions, and defining moments through 13 remarkable places in her new book, This Land is Your Land. Join Beverly Gage in conversation with WSHU's Molly Ingram, Wednesday, August 12th at 7 p.m. at the Westport Library. A Q&A and book signing will follow. Learn more and reserve your free seat at WSHU.org.
Southern Connecticut and Long Island are under a heat advisory until 11 p.m. Friday. The humidity combined with the heat could make it feel around 100 degrees, according to the National Weather Service. To find a cooling center in Connecticut, dial 211. And for cooling center locations on Long Island, check with the county health departments. A teenager in Norwalk was hit and killed by a Metro North train last night. Police say two others were present and arrested for trespassing. It happened on an overpass on the railroad's Danbury line. New Haven's incoming police chief will actually live in the city, giving up on a request for a waiver to let him live elsewhere. David Zanelli commuted from Mystic for years. He became chief earlier this year when former chief Carl Jacobson resigned amidst a gambling scandal. The Hempstead Housing Authority favors elderly white people, according to a federal investigation. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development found Hempstead used an illegal point system that discriminates against disabled and non-white applicants. That's according to a Newsday investigation. The Hempstead Housing Authority director denies any wrongdoing. A lot of school sports work in the same way. Two teams compete against each other in the same place, and they both try to score as many goals or points as they can to win, but the sport of trap shooting is a lot different. Student athletes rarely compete in the same place as another team. There's no match to win or goals to score. Instead, athletes measure their own success against others statewide. One of the top trap shooting teams in New York is in the Adirondack town of Long Lake. The New York Public News Network's Emily Russell went to one of their competitions and has this story.
Donna Furlong has a clipboard in one hand and a pencil in the other.
Officers are ready?
Ready.
Lines ready?
Lines hot.
Four students stand in a line facing a big open field. They're each wearing a bright orange vest and holding a long shotgun.
Ball. I'll walk.
It's mid-May at the Long Lake Fishing Game Club. These students are part of the Long Lake School District's clay target team. Donna Furlong is their advisor. She also teaches math and science. Her 12-year-old son, Kieran, is one of the shooters here today.
So when I start, I close my barrel and I put it up to like the sky almost, but not quite.
He then rests the back end of his gun against his shoulder.
And then once my gun is ready, on that point, I'll yell pull and then I'll follow it.
It all happens in just a few tenths of a second. The clay bird is launched into the sky from a trap house in the field. This sport is meant to mimic bird hunting. It originated in England nearly 300 years ago.
Oh! Lost?
That means the student missed the clay target.
Every shot is different. Like, no shot is exactly the same.
That's Griffin Farr. He's 17, a senior, and also plays baseball. He's one of the top shooters on the team. Each round, students take 25 shots. Just a day earlier, Farr scored a perfect round. I ask him what it feels like to hit 25 targets in a row.
It's a good feeling. It's nerve-wracking. Like, if you shoot 24 and leading up to the last shot, it's a lot of pressure. Like, you're like second-guessing everything, but you just gotta stay calm and pull the trigger.
For Daphne Seaman, her strategy to stay focused during a competition is to distract herself.
I try and sing a song in my head, so I'm not thinking about if I'm missing or hitting them.
Seaman is 17 years old. She's a junior who's also into art and poetry. I ask what song she's singing in her head today.
Noah Kahan just came out with a new album. I started singing Dan by Noah Kahan. I'm with my best friend Dan now,
camping on the county line, and around the middle. Most of Long Lake's trap shooting competitions happen here on their home turf. Then their advisor, Donna Furlong, submits their scores to compare them to other teams with eight athletes. The state's conferences are broken down by team size. Furlong says these athletes are the real deal.
I've been doing it myself for probably 10 years or so. I am nowhere near as good as any of these children. But I know enough about the sport to know about guns and about safety and about ammunition.
She and all the kids here have taken hunter safety courses. They also have a big safety talk at the start of each season and before every competition week. Another rule at the range is no cell phones, which Furlong says is key to getting the kids to connect and stay in the moment.
When we're here, it is all personable conversation. They're talking to each other. They're hyping each other up. They're calming each other down. You know, they're really encouraging to each other. And overall, they're just an awesome group of kids to work with.
New York State is home to more than 180 trap shooting teams, and the sport is growing. In the last decade, the number of students competing across the country has more than doubled.
Like anything else, we got to bring the youth into the game.
That's Bruce Jennings. He's president of the Long Lake Fish and Game Club, which provides all the ammunition and clay targets for the students, as well as access to the shooting range.
If you don't bring the youth in, as myself, I'm 73 and I'm going to fade out. And so we need those younger folks to take over the reins and do it for the next generation.
The sport taps into the strong hunting culture in rural towns around New York. Every athlete I talk to in Long Lake has been around guns nearly all their lives, including Daphne Seaman, the only girl on the team.
I've grown up like surrounded by guns, like hunting since I was like before I could walk. Like my family has a bunch of guns and my dad's really into shooting, and so he kind of like pushed me into it. He was like, this would be fun.
Seaman says his passion has now become her passion. Just like any other high school sport, families and friends are here today sitting in lawn chairs, cheering on the athletes as the competition comes to a close.
All out!
Good job, you guys!
The students dump their shotgun shells into a big blue bucket. They then come over to the clipboard and initial their names next to their scores. In Long Lake, I'm Emily Russell for the New York Public News Network.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and tune in here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. And for more on the music you hear and the latest news, check us out over on Instagram. Give us a follow, leave us a comment. That really helps us out. We are at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thanks for being with me today. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.